All right, everyone, open your Bibles once again to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, 31, and we end it at, what was that, 20, 30. We ended at 30. Excuse me. So as you're getting there, I'm just going to give you a recap on last week. Last week, Jacob finally went into his ancestral lands. He met this woman who he believed would probably be his wife, and we know that she was a shepherdess, which was uncommon at that time. And Jacob quickly rolled away to stone because he had so much energy in him at time, seeing his first cousin, believing that she might be the one for him, just as God sent a servant of Abraham to find his mother Rebecca. He did the same as by watering the animals. Perhaps in his mind he thought, this would be the one for me. So we looked at that last week. And God was showing him once again that he was with him. Remember that God met him in the desert and told him, I'll be with you until the end. No matter what you're going to go through, remember, I'll be with you. Just as he is with us, regardless if we make mistakes or not, we talked about that, that he is going to be with us in our ups and downs. He'll walk us through it, and that's a certainty because God never changes. He had tears of joy when he saw her, and He met his uncle Laban, who basically said, hey, we're family. I heard your story. Come on, work for me for a while. So they started developing a relationship because if you remember, she was a shepherdess and so was Jacob. And he went to his uncle and said, hey, you know what? I don't have any money, but I sure do like your daughter. In fact, I love your daughter. I'll give you 7 years of my life, which is a complete number, if you only give her to me. So of course, his uncle said, of course I will. I'd rather give her to you than anyone else, which is a common thing even now in the Middle East and other countries to give family members to family members. We know the extremes were the kings, and if you go too close, you wind up with a lot of genetic defects. But at this time, it wasn't so. So his good uncle prepared a wedding party and called all the men. Of course, everyone else was there, but the men were put in there for a reason. We know that they're the heads. When you're talking about the Bible, they're going to talk about the men, but the women and the kids were there as well for a wedding feast. And I talked about how it wasn't the way we do it right now. It was more of a sign of a contract with the wedding tent put off somewhere to side, which brings them together. Also, Rachel didn't mind, or we talked about why would she allow this. And it is possible, again, that maybe she wasn't even there. Maybe her father said, go off somewhere for a while and come back later. But it's also known that they didn't do this in their country. Now, when he was tricked, he woke up the next morning after a night of partying. We saw that he went late at night, and if the Bible says he went into her, not knowing, because he was probably drunk. We talked about how many times people will wake up and they'll turn to the side and say, who are you? Or where am I? Not who they thought it was. And he had that thing happen to him. So in essence, what goes around, comes around, happened to him. His uncle said, we don't do that here. And there's a lot of customs that do the same thing. I talked about how my custom was the same. You don't give away or marry off the younger daughter before the older one. And this is what happened. So his mind probably was forced to think about the firstborn and the right of the firstborn. He thought maybe he was escaping it, but we know the Bible said, whatever you sow, you will reap. And it doesn't mean that God is not with you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. But he's a just and fair God. And Jacob is going to find this out more and more as he continues to be transformed from who he is into who God wants him to be, even when he continues to wrestle. And he's not the only one who's wrestling. His entire family is going to wrestle. So Leah, of course, was weak, or her eye meant weak or low. But after the marriage, 7 days passed, his uncle said, I'll give you 2 for 1. Just serve me another 7 years. Now that's an unusual thing we think about. And again, the question is, what is God up to? Why is God not doing anything about this? But remember what the Bible says. Paraphrasing in Romans and Hebrews, you know what? He let it go in the past because he's leading you somewhere. He forgave your sins. so you can get to where you want to be. But now that you know you have Christ, we're all called to repentance. And this brings up the question again, why does God allow these things? Does he want this to happen? There's a perfect will, permissive will. We know what the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. It says a king should not have many wives. Well, we know it wasn't meant that way, but hey, God is merciful, and we see the progression of his revelations leading to where we are right now. And we have to try to understand those times, how it pertains to us. Why would the Lord allow certain things? Was this part of his will? To the degree it was. But we're going to see again the breakdown of family as we continue to move on through this. So he marries her. And we left out with him having two wives, which adds on to multiple troubles. And we're going to see this. So verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." All right. Do we got the slides up, Justin? I don't know what it is with my... Let me try it. There we go. All right. I'm going to leave this up for a while because it's important. We're going to get a little bit confused, and you may not see it. I'll be able to read it. So, Reuben, behold a son. It was the firstborn. In other words, that's what it means. And you can look up there, and we'll continue to look at the meanings of the words if you like. But she says, the Bible tells us she was unloved. Now, what does that mean? Did he hate her? Did he not care for her at all? No, he had his favorite. We know in the beginning that he really wanted the younger daughter. But there's something to keeping your word and God keeping us to our word. He did, regardless if he was duped into it, marry Leah. Now remember, Leah was, by the Bible's account, not the most attractive. What did that do to her internally? She was the older daughter. We talked about how, for whatever reason, he couldn't marry her off. So he has a wife now. And her desperate desire is to be loved. See, the things we deal with now, we talk about psychology and all that stuff and what our children, our family did to us growing up, caused us to have issues or not issues. But she could have had issues as well. She wants her husband to love her. She was unloved and she sees that. And when she gave him a son, now he'll look at me with affection or start showing more care for me. And this, once again, is a breakdown of family, us not getting what we want, expect, or even maybe think we believe we should have, because we're all different. And marriage isn't the end-all, serve-all, and doesn't generally bring us closer to God, but a lot of times we can think that. So here, Leah is starting off to believe that if she gives her husband a son, he will look upon her differently. And it's sort of sad. A lot of people, and even us, we do things for others because we think they might love us more or like us more. But it's not the case. We're not the ones to change people. But she starts off by thinking, okay, she's going to look at me. He's going to look at me more affectionate. My husband will love me. Remembering that she was not who he wanted. They both went along with this. Even Leah. Not even thinking about, well, is he going to love me or not? Because probably internal issues she had said, well, at least I have a husband. And we don't know. But by what she says, it's interesting. Same like us. We can get into relationships of every form because we're looking for something that only God could give us. And it leads us into a wrong mindset. But is it wrong for her to want to be loved by her husband? No, it's not wrong. Again, we all want love. We were made for love. God made us that way. But everything is broken. And if you got people who are broken, they're not just going to love you instantly. It can change in time, but it takes a lot of... What's the number one thing we all hold in common out of that 10 lists? Communication. Because the words that we say affect us deeply, emotionally. Doesn't matter. It really does. There's manipulation in sales. Sales is a great thing. When I was in sales, all you got to do is manipulate people with what you say. You make them feel good. You make them believe they're in charge. You make them say this is a good deal. You say certain things that affect them, so you read them. And we all have those issues. But Leah, again, also had some personal issues. It was nothing wrong for her to want her husband to love her. But once again, why didn't she say, "Dad, I don't think this is going to work out. Why don't we talk to him? Why don't we see what we can do?" Again, the way it was back then is still to a degree the way it is right now in other countries. I'm in head of the house. I'll tell you who to marry. My culture is the same way. It's not too much like that now, but there was arranged marriages. What happens after the patriarch dies? Divorce. I'm going to marry who I wanted to way back when. And that's normal because you have the patriarchs dictating what and who we can see or marry. And we talked about those 10 lists. That's part of an issue coming from a dysfunctional family. So we know that it's all over the place. Verse 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Simeon, favorable hearing or good news. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons." Therefore his name was called Levi, a joining or attached. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. And if you look at that, what does Judah mean? Right there, praise. Then she stopped having kids. What does this remind us of? All the way back to Genesis 3. "Then the Lord said to the woman, I will sharpen your pain of pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." She said in verse 34, "My husband will become attached to me. You know, because I did these things for him, I gave him sons, what is a blessing at that time. I fulfilled my part. He's going to want me. And I'll be able to a certain degree, control him, bring it on my side now. The younger sister won't have as much of his time as I will because he doesn't know what's right for him." And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot try to control a man or a woman with gifts and showering with stuff. It's not going to help them to love you. Women are more emotional, but when you give something, it doesn't fully work on a man at times, and they rebel sometimes. But God is saying that's her desire. She wants to be loved. She wants him next to her because whose is it? You're my husband. I am the firstborn. There's the curse once again. All the way back in Genesis 3. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that when he's talking about salvation, he goes into the husbands and wives, and I've said this. He goes, "Listen, y'all, you can't save your husband. You can't save your wife. It's not up to you to change someone or have them try to love you. It's up to God. But because of the fall and who we are, we think we know what's best for our spouse or family members or our children. And we tend to do this too much." When you do this too much, what happens? The person backs off. But Leah was trying to do something she couldn't. You can't force anyone to love you. Now, can a person learn to love you? Can a person grow in love with you? Yes, but what happens? The heart of stone has to turn into a heart of flesh. And who's the one who does that? God. He changes us. If you're a new creature, you have to learn his ways now. But it's not easy. And she's having a difficult time with this. She wants to control him even in the love. Love me, not her. And it leads us into problems. Again, it's the emotions that causes issues. Our heart is deceitful. Back in Genesis, what did God say to Cain? What are we supposed to master? This. Because it's crouching at the door, sin, missing the mark, doing what's wrong, not following God. His desire is for you, but you got to master that. And again, what are we mastering? Up here, what we feel, how we react to someone saying something to us. But is it easy? I don't like you much, Phil.
I think you're
Well, how did that make you feel? Huh? What's the first thing that came to you?
What I just said.
Okay, because he knows me, see? Now, if it was a little more realistic,
serious, like,
yeah, he knows I'm not serious. But there's something that could offend all of us if we don't watch what we say. But how should he respond to that? You know, Phil, I just don't like you. Now, there he goes crying. Now, that could work, but is that a mature response? Is he learning communication? I don't think so. I don't like you, Phil.
Well, I don't like you either.
Once again, he says he doesn't like me, and there Arnell is clapping. Two forms of a lack of maturity in communication. Now, see, that's the problem in the Bible and with us right now. What should be the response? Here's their third try as a charm. I don't like you, Phil.
Well, I'm going to pray for you and instill the love of God. Hopefully, you will repent from your immature ways.
He said he was going to pray for me and that hopefully I would repent from my immature ways. Now, even in jest, that's what came out of him. So it's unusual, but we do that, don't we? Now, let's flip it around. You're going to say you don't like me. Look at that.
That's sarcasm.
Sarcasm, part of the fall of communication. Let's try this one last time. Now look how difficult it is for him to do something I would like him to do. There is the flesh, even though it's like, I don't want to say that because I'm thinking it's right, but I'm asking him. Phil, can you please say what I said to you? I'm sorry, Phil. What did I do to you to make you feel that way? Because I may have hurt you in some way and I didn't know. Because I'm only human, I don't know. Tell me, why? He says, I asked him to say that. But do you see, communication is difficult. In order for me to address him correctly, Christ's way, I would have to have down guards. But if he's going to come to me and say that, I'll be like, ugh. You can't help it. But realistically, I'd want to say, why? Now here's Leah giving her husband kids. Did they talk? Did she say, husband, I know you don't love me and you didn't want me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been part of this deception. Let's talk. Let's do the best we can. Maybe we can work it out. They're not perfect. Remember their upbringing too. This is your role. This is how you are. But remember when Jesus comes into our lives and the Holy Spirit leads us to truth on how to act, how to be, how to see, how to talk to others, how to come out of ourselves. This is all part of it. This is just a progression when you're reading the Bible. But she doesn't know. So who are you going to blame? You're going to blame her father and all the way back again to Adam. But we see once again Genesis 3. So we're moving on to chapter 30, verse 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or I die! That's the best female voice I can do. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel and said, am I in the place of God? Elohim, Yahweh? Am I in the place of the one who gives and takes away? Can I be him? He's the one who would tell the fruit of the womb for you. Why are you coming to me? Well, you shouldn't have married two women. I mean, I could be her and say that. Jacob could also say, it's not me. Obviously, it's not me. I mean, you need to go to the doctor and get checked. Obviously, I had children with my first wife. But remember her plight right now. She's in disgrace. Of course, she's going to be envious. You should not marry many wives. Here's battles going on right now. And what was going through her mind? Why didn't I possibly say no? But he was supposed to be mine. And again, what would God's will have been? We talked about this last week. Could it have been that possibly Esau should have went to Leah and Jacob to Rachel? We'll never know until we're dead and go up there and God may say, yeah, that's what I wanted. But hey, you know what? Just like the Israelites, when Samuel came to me, I said, no, you know what? They're always doing stuff like that. They're rejecting me like they did. It's their ways, but I can still work through it. Don't worry about it. They got to learn a lesson. What are you going to do? I'm God. No problem. I love you. Don't worry. It'll work out in the end. They're not rejecting you. Even Samuel had a self-centered mentality. But it's normal for us. We can't help it. But Rachel truly wanted children because she was in disgrace. And Jacob, of course, is going to say, it's not my fault. I don't know what to do. I'm in the middle of you two. Troubles. Verse 3. So she said, here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. So here we go again. And remember, this was part of the culture. It never works out. Doing things your way will never work out. And you think again, they would say, well, let me see. Did it work out? Is this part of the promise? Wait, did Jacob even tell her about the whole thing of Abraham? Who knows? But hey, you know what? She's going to be mine. The child's going to be mine. When you're looking at the word, when she says, bear a child on my knee, that's basically a ceremony sort of that they had, that you would take the child and you would place it at the lap of the woman, saying, this is yours. I put it next to your knees or place it before you. She will give me that child. She will give me it and it will be mine. So Jacob's like, okay, why not? Now, maybe to Jacob, he was looking at it sexually. Maybe he was also looking at it as, she keeps nagging me. I don't know what to do. But Rachel wasn't. She needed children because that was her value. That's where she saw her purpose. And that's biblically one of the ways a woman would see her purpose. So he does it. What happens? Verse 6. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. He has vindicated. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali, struggled or wrestling. Now once again, our human minds, Rachel says, God has judged my case, and because I gave my maidservant to Jacob, he heard my voice and he blessed me. Now there's the thinking of human beings. But the thought is, well, wait a second, because she is Bilhah, we'll give him two children that are part of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. So where is God in this? Is he condoning polygamy? Did he ever condone it? Did he ever say, marry multiple wives? Did he allow certain things, knowing us more than we know ourselves? And we can ask the question, I don't understand God. But remember, God's mercy. Him doing things that we don't understand, of course, until we get to the New Testament, we understand why. He is merciful even then. Even when God told the Israelites, wipe out everything. Men, women, children. Doesn't seem like mercy. But he says, you don't understand, you have to do this. Because they'll corrupt you, they'll destroy you. And that's mercy for his people. But she says that God has judged her case and heard her voice. And she's wrestling continually with her sister over her husband. But she prevailed because she gave her maid to her husband. But did she prevail? I mean, these are her thoughts. Will they continue to wrestle? Of course. Will she continue to wrestle with her sister till the day her sister dies? What about afterwards? How is she going to feel? There is a wrestling. He's mine, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. Going back to the curse that we see in this part of Genesis, and we see it every day in our lives. We must master it. And it is a wrestling. How does it feel to be one wife out of two wives wanting your husband to love you? How do some women feel when their husband don't show them affection? or vice versa? Do you have to be patient? You do. Do you have to continue to show love? You do. Do you have to bring it before the Lord? You do. Do you have to learn how to communicate? You do. Does it take time to develop relationship? Clearly you see this in the Bible. Thousands of years, right? We don't have thousands of years, but it takes the desire to practice what's right and righteousness. And I continue to say this, we continue to listen to it, is because we continue to need it and to be reminded. Every part of the Bible, you can see a certain theme running through it. Yes, it's restoration, restoration of relationship, restoration of communication, restoration with the Father and us, dealing with issues, being strong, wrestling not only with God, but with each other. Sisters, brothers, even in Christ, we wrestle with each other. We try to encourage each other. We point fingers at each other. We accuse each other. But in that, if Christ is with us and we continue to move, we can restore each other. Going back to communication. So she wrestles with her sister, and it doesn't end. Verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. Now here it is. Oh yeah? I'll show you. Just as Rachel said, I've wrestled and I have won. You think you've won. I got a servant too that I'm going to give to Jacob. And she follows suit in this unusual way of being because everything is broken inside. Both of them desiring what they cannot get unless the Lord does something. They're doing it on their own power. She says that. Okay, here's my maid. Verse 10. And Leah's maid, Zilpha, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop come. So she called his name Gad. Good fortune. What good fortune. Or even some translations, we're building a troop here. Look at all the kids I'm giving. 12. Then Leah's maid Zilpha bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Blessed or happy. Now, would they call her happy? I mean, any woman who was able to think at that time, who had wisdom, who thought outside the box, would be able to pull back and say, man, this is trouble. Yes, you have a lot of women, and yes, they're giving them or putting it before your knees, but now there's four in the mix. Now there's more problems. But she says the daughters will call her happy. Verse 14. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat. And here it is, Reuben the firstborn. Wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? So here we have a break in time right now. They talk about the children. Now they talk about Reuben going out. We don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to pick mandrakes. Let's say he was a young kid. And of course, I can't go on without showing you what a mandrake is, because you're probably thinking, what is a mandrake? We're not going to find out. There it is. So here's what a mandrake looks like. And if you look at it, there's a lot of myths and how this applies, why Rachel wants these mandrakes. So if you can see that, the number one was fertility stimulant. It was an aphrodisiac. It was apples pungent. I don't know what that means. And the root, it says, there resembles a baby's body. So whenever they saw this back then, if you see the root, they probably thought the gods, remember these women were pagans. The gods will allow me to give birth through this mandrake, this plant, this fruit, because it's shaped as a baby, or what they believed it was shaped as a baby. But what it does, Rachel ate mandrakes for 5 years and never, I don't know if she ate them for 5 years. So she didn't get pregnant, but historically it's a hallucinogenic, a narcotic, and it also, it was used as an anesthetic in surgery. it does also have a euphoric effect, or it's more like an opium. So it calms you down, probably makes you susceptible as well. But that is what a mandrake is. The other issue is, in that part of the region, they do not grow. So possibly what happened is travelers came by, maybe dropped some seeds, and they started growing. But it's not generally found in the area they are in, upper Syria, if I remember correctly. So that's what the mandrake was. So she was hoping that she can get pregnant. So give me those weird-looking fruit. That is generally, I think it was considered sweet. And you see how it looks like a human. You have to remember once again, Leah and Rachel were idol worshippers. Her father was an idol worshipper. And we know that as we're going to read when she takes the gods of her father. Jacob was learning how to be a one God worshipper, because that was their background. So she wants those mandrakes. But Leah says something interesting. Isn't it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Because realistically, by rights, that was her husband. But again, you deceived. He didn't want you. Why are you looking at it from such a self-centered perspective? Now, there was no psychologist around right there to sit them down and say, tell me what you feel. Why are you thinking about this? Why do you feel this? Perhaps. Of course, they're not going to look and you see Yahweh, the Lord says, so there's none of that. They're just growing. They're trying to understand even who they are. But by rights and the laws, she was the wife. And she was taken away, and he was taken away from the younger daughter. Realistically, that's not true, because you'd have to go back to your father. Look how messed up the family is. Who is he? Whose was he? They're still going back and forth. It goes on in verse 15. And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. So, Jacob, I'm going to treat you like a male prostitute. I've bought you. And you know, once again, the Bible is straightforward, doesn't pull any punches or jokes. It says it like it is. Here's these two women both claiming they're the husband, or one is claiming, and she says, you know what? I'm going to buy him. And she does. It is really odd when you think about what's going on here. Here is Jacob coming out of the field, and now Leah went to meet him and said, you're going to lie with me because I bought you. Now, it's an interesting thing. How is he changing? Why did he do this? Why is he okay, always okay, whatever? Is it possible that he's becoming humbled? Is he realizing he made mistakes and thinking, you know what? I got myself into this. She is my wife. Let me go. Bible doesn't tell us if he was, oh man, I'm tired. It just says he laid with her that night. Give me a break for a second. And that's an odd thing. She purchased her husband. Tells you again where he was sleeping. Either he was sleeping in his own tent or with Rachel. Or he would go back and forth. And then again, he had those two other wives who were lower class wives. But what is going on with him in his mind? And this process of cleansing or wrestling all around in the family. He does it. Does he have a right to say no? Well, when you look at the New Testament, the Bible says, husbands and wives, render unto your spouse what is due. Talking about the sexual union, whether you're male or female. Render, because you guys are weak. But again, this wasn't the issue here, because I don't think he had a problem. He had four women to choose from, if he wanted to, if that was the case, if they allow that. If it wasn't just for childbearing. But she buys him for that night, for some mandrakes, for this supposed fertility stimulus that Rachel said, therefore he will lie with you tonight, because maybe this will work. So she lays with him, and what happens? And he may be changing. Verse 17. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. So he listens. Here you go. Hopefully this will help me. You have him. He has another son. She has another son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name, Issachar. Eric, Issachar, reward. Now, the mindset is unusual here again. My sister did it. I did it. Now I have another son. So God must be blessing this. But there's the problem with the heart and the emotions and the lack of understanding. Wanting something you can't obtain unless God does it. Then you do it your own way. Now, nowhere in here do they say they went before the Lord and said, how are we going to work this out, God? Well, you should have listened to me to begin with. Nowhere did it say they sought advice. They just did, again, like the Bible says in the Old Testament and the Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. But again, they really didn't understand who this one true God was. And his grace is over them, just like his grace is over us. But then the question is, what do you do when you come to a service and you hear something, whoever is talking, and it strikes you? And you realize it's truth, not coming from a pastor or someone up here talking, but it's the Word speaking, and it resembles, and the Holy Spirit does this, boop, and you feel this. So what are you obligated to do now? There it is. You know. Are you going to do it? No? Oh, it's a sin to you now. You're missing the mark. Oh, man, James, why must you be so prevalent in my head? And I'm talking to myself right now. If you know what you're supposed to do, if God has given you instructions on how to be in every aspect of your life, are you doing it? Did you hear it? Follow it. And that's a struggle the more God shows you things. You want to get closer to me? Here it is. Look around you. Where are you? Just like they are. Are you living around idols? Are you allowing idols? Do you even remember what an idol is? Are you doing what's right in your eyes? Are you coming to me? Are you hearing me when you come to me? Or are you doing a Jonah? I can lift my hand all day long, but the more I realize it's the wrong thing to do and how it's getting you nowhere, the more you start to say, I need to come to my senses. And it's always that question. Have I grown? From year to year, am I changing? Am I still the same person? Do I feel his presence more? Do I understand what he wants me to do? Can I look upon things that I used to look upon and see it as not honoring to God? I don't know about that. And I talked about this last week, and I don't know. I guess it bothers me because in the beginning, it's God reminding me. Years ago when I went to the movies, he said, you're taking part of this. Give me the scripture, God. Okay. Of course it is, you know. What does the mind say? Whoever looks upon a woman? Adultery, right? So does that mean that's all there is? I could look at two people killing each other on TV and I'm not committing murder? If in my mind I'm looking at the bad guy getting his just desserts and saying, yes, did I not just commit murder? How deep does this following the Lord go? How much have we been corrupted by our society? How much do we do everything in our own ways, what's right in our own eyes? And you know, the Lord, when I was getting angry, like I talked about, oh, you see two men and two women kissing. Like, ah. And again, the Lord's like, well, David, do you get mad when a man and a woman kiss on TV? Why is that right? Huh? What? La, 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 la. All right, Lord, I'll just close my eyes when the scene comes. Because you ordained husband and wife. Are they husband and wife? No, they have wives and husbands. Oh, but they're kissing each other. Was that a slip of the tongue I just saw on TV? But it's okay, Lord. They're male and female. Everyone does what's right in their own mind and eyes, and we wind up in trouble. The Lord has blessed me because I gave my servant, my maidservant, to my husband, and she gave me a child. There's a compromise, and there's our compromise. I'm going to do it. It's no big deal. I can use this for ministry. I could tell myself all day, but I mean, really, God's the one who sends people to us. I used to worry about, who do you want me to talk to, whatever, and I realized that caused me issues. But God will orchestrate divine appointments. if we're open and willing. And I told you the story when I went to Walmart last year during COVID, I think it was. I don't know. It was, what shirt should I put on to go get something at 11 o'clock at night? I said, oh, I'll catch up with Jesus, sir. I don't know why I took it. Went there. All of a sudden, about an hour later, all right, praying in a Walmart, answering questions. I'll meet you next week and we'll finish it off. God is the one who orchestrates it if we are willing and open. But we have to be aware of that. We can't do what these women are doing, what Jacob is doing. But God is with them just like he's with us. And she says, wait, where am I? Yes, my wages because she gave her maid to her husband. Now my husband will dwell with me because I gave him 6 sons. And there it is again, Leah's issues inside of her heart and in her mind. Wanting love, wanting her husband that was supposedly hers. But again, it probably should have never happened. She should have stopped the marriage. Did she have a choice or not? More than likely not. And I know. I could tell you so many stories of my uncles, aunts, who said, oh, I never wanted to marry this person, but I had no choice. And you have to honor that. So this is the issue here, going all the way back, as you can see, from Adam. And it affects us even now. I think we're at verse 21? No, we're not, 20. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him a 6th son. So she called, I did say this, Zebulun. Yes, gift. Afterward, she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. It sounds like that, right? Just a girl. Who cares? That's all. We're only going to say that, nothing else. But we know she plays a major part later on in the role of Jacob and the tribes and what happens. Verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. May he add. Or may the Lord add another son. And she was right. So God remembered her, the Bible says. Now, did that mandrake have anything to do with it? You never know, right? If you think about it like this, well, did God use what he planted? Did he make her get that? It would still go to the God. Like when we go to doctors, is it a doctor that's healing you? The wisdom that he put inside God? We don't know. But the Bible says it was God. Because the truth is, even the food we eat is a gift from God. The air we breathe, to be able to gather together, is a gift of the Lord. The Son, of course. So we don't know. But God remembered Rachel. And again, the question is, well, remembered? Was he laying back watching TV and an alarm went off? What is the understanding of this word remembered? Well, again, everything in God's time. It was time. He listened to her and he opened her womb. What does that mean? You know what? Maybe my gods or my father's gods are not working. Let me pray to Jacob's God and see what happens. Because the Bible says God listened to her and he opened her womb. Listen to what? Well, obviously it was a prayer to the God. And remember, God's desire was to take these people out of paganism, idolatry, and introduce them into his ways little by little. So he remembered her, or he heard her after she offered sacrifice to him. Now, we don't know where Jacob probably had a hand to play in this. We don't. Maybe he talked to her and said, why don't you try praying to my God? He told me he's going to be with me. But we don't know. So verse 22. Oh, no, actually, I was there, right? Another son. Oh, all right. Now, this is where we're going to end, but it was very confusing, wasn't it? Whose son is who? Who is everyone? Well, this one should help you out a little bit. It makes it a little more easy. Here's Jacob's family line. Here's Leah. Leah bore him Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah, who is not on there. Leah's servant, Zilpha, bore Jacob Gad and Asher. Rachel bore him, of course, that wonderful many color one that you see there, Joseph and Benjamin, and her servant Bilhah bore him Dan and Naphtali. So that makes it pretty simple, right? You're like, what? So you see where it breaks down who bore who. So Leah gave him 6 children. In general, basically, because the children of her servant are hers, 8 children. Rachel gave him 4 children. By the accounts or the way it was where she gives over her children to Rachel. So we're going to end it here, I think, at 45. But the family of Jacob, or the gathering of Jacob's family. And it is the Jacob bunch, as I entitled this one. It wasn't small problems as the Brady bunch, as we're going to see Jacob's and his bunch get into some serious issues. And it doesn't seem like it gets corrected, and the wrestling continues. Not only was the wrestling between sisters, but later on we're going to see that Jacob continues to wrestle with God. Like we all do. But in this portion of scripture, they want love. They want their husband. They're doing their own thing. They're still following their own ways. And they're just bringing about more issues. Can God use all this? Of course he is. There's the 12 tribes. But the question again goes, was this the way God wanted it? Or is he like, you know what? Everything's fallen. This is what's going to happen. Here's your free will to a certain extent. I'm going to still bless you, Jacob, even though you're going to make a lot of mistakes that are going to cause you some issues, but you need to be humbled. You need to understand who I am. And that goes with us. The longer we are Christians or call ourselves Christians, the question goes again, are we doing what's right in our own eyes and giving things to God, to our family, thinking that this would honor God, or this is what he wants, or keeping back things that God may want to take, because they were doing what they thought to try to get the love of God. And even with us, favoritism. Lord, if you give me this, I'll do this. Oh Lord, I need this out of my life. Or Lord, I need that, or don't do that. God is good regardless. And I told you how the Lord has blessed me so many times in the midst of my sin that just made me like, man, I'm just a disgusting person. But God was telling me, you just don't understand. I love you and I'll bless you regardless. But again, you're not taking advantage of it because he knows our hearts. We don't have to negotiate with God. We just have to cry out to him and say, Lord. We don't have to say, if you, I will. Do a Jacob. Or Leah. Or Rachel. I did this and God is blessing me. No, 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 you did what was wrong. I'm blessing you because I love you and I'm fulfilling my promise. So we don't have to. We just have to go before the throne of grace and mercy and let our requests be known. And the truth of God will lead us. And that's it. But of course, we're human, they're human. We got a lot to go, just like they do. But in the meantime, we ask ourselves the same questions. Me or you, Lord? I don't know. But that's where we hash it out. And we go before him in his grace again and say, God, help me not to give something to you or believe that you're blessing me because I am or I'm not. Because he will bless you. You follow him, expect blessings. Let's pray. So Father, we do thank you for, again, your word and your truth in this word, that you tell it like it is. And you want us to glean and learn, and reminding us that we're all flawed, broken. We need to understand that is why you tell us to follow you. That is why you tell us to walk in your spirit. Because you're the one who leads us to all truth. You give us wisdom. You help us to break down walls. You stop us from doing what is wrong. And even in the wrong, of course, you're with us. Your will be done in our lives. But we would rather have your perfect will than your permissive will. And as we look at your servants here, Father, as you continue to work on them, we thank you for the grace and mercy that you gave them and the one you give us as well throughout our days. And we come before you again, Lord, asking those questions. As always, what should we do? How should we act? Help us not to do what they are doing here, believing that we are getting a blessing for something that you may not be ordaining, something that is not according to your word, something that we've deceived ourselves in. something that we think is okay to do, to say, to watch, to listen, to be, to speak, to not to speak, whatever, and thinking because we hear you and we see you, you're happy with it. It's your love. But again, help us to be more transformed into your image, Lord, and not to do what's right in our own eyes. We bless you and we praise you, and I ask that you continue to go before us, and thank you for your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.